Pete, go ahead. I heard Pete.
If I can offer a friendly amendment to that, I think that what would be useful, perhaps, is to ask if every committee put bring forward one, two, or three people. I don't know. You folks decide what seems reasonable to be trained to post minutes, because every committee individually has this. And if we just say whoever wants to be trained, some committees will have no one show up, and they'll still have that problem. So if, to really address this, I think if every committee put forward one or two folks, and it doesn't even have to be maybe at the LA meeting, if the business is full, we can schedule a training over the phone when everyone can be in front of a computer, over teleconference. But I do appreciate the effort, Rip, and Mary, both interest in this. And if some kind of motion along this way, maybe not even a motion, just a request that, a formal request made that something, because I have made this request through the national office since Dan Coughlin, and I've not been able to have one training or discussion on this level with board members.
Michael, may I be on the stack?
Rob says something, and then Andrea.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak in favor of Rip's motion. I'm a chairman of a committee, and I'm also doing secretarial work under protest for this committee. but I think that the work that this committee is doing is important. But, I mean, we can't even find out. I don't know who the secretary or the chair of this committee was last year. We don't have access to their information. And I think that Rip's request is a reasonable and an honest one. And I think it conforms to what Pete has been asking us to do for years. So I would speak in favor of Rip's motion.
Andrea?
Is there a way, I not being the most technologically savvy of all, but is there a way that this information can be encoded so that, if you're the secretary, I mean, not everybody's supposed to be posting minutes, but so that if you're the secretary of a committee, you get an access code each year, and you post the minutes or whatever it is, some little code that enables you to do it, but also enables you to go to a particular site for information leading you through it step by step, because we need a way for this to be able to be implemented ongoing. Not every year a whole roster of people have to be trained again by somebody when we find the time. It's going to be very complicated, but if there's a way that people can go to a site or go to an informational, page that will tell them how to do it, lead them step by step through when they have the code as the secretary of the committee, something like that.
I'm wondering if that's not getting into, it's a useful suggestion.
I mean, that right now I think Rip's motion is appropriate, because right now people need to be up and running right away. But it seems to me that it needs to be something that people can use every year.
I think
just to be clear, that is the case. From the time that these sites were set up, accounts could be and have been created for users to do just that. And it's not, training sounds like it's complicated. It's really not. It's if you can use a web-based email system like Gmail or Hotmail or Yahoo Mail, you can use this. It's not multiple steps or very complicated. You don't have to know any HTML code. You can copy and paste from Notepad or WordPad or your word processor. It's not complicated.
Right, so couldn't it be explained someplace that people go to find out?
You're talking about, can we prepare tutorials on the internet for people to use it?
There are tutorials on the web.
And that's going to require another level of effort on Pete's part.
Yeah, no.
But it would be a one-time effort forever.
This is an open source application. Other people use this, so other people have created tutorials. So if we can set up a training session, I can send all that information out to those folks interested, and we can move on that. It's not a problem.
This is a process question, and that really, we have other things to get through.
Okay, I'm right.
The idea was brilliant, and hopefully Pete took it to heart. So,
Mary Berg, could I have one small question? If it is a process question, I just want to know what is the. You said it's an open source application. Could I just know what it was?
It's Joomla. Joomla. Joomla.
Oh, okay.
It's in the minutes from the last meeting.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, let's get on to the issue of budget needs.
Yeah, just Just three quick bullets.
Oh, but I just need to interrupt 1 second. I'm going to make Rip's request, if that's all right. So I'll make that one with the motion that we passed, and I don't think the request needs to be made into a motion. Is everybody good with that to close mm-hmm. the discussion?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank right. you, folks. I appreciate
Thank you.
That.
All right, Pete.
Okay, just three bullets on the budget so you folks give a general sense of what's going on, and I would request that we have a meeting on the budget, perhaps the next meeting. We need to do that before the budget process gets finalized, because arguably that is the most important role of any committee. In fact, the CFO has said that over the last few years repeatedly, that the roles of these committees is to prioritize budgets, and repeatedly the tech committee is not there to do so. So I appreciate your efforts this year. I applaud you all. And so with that in mind, the bullets are the national staff, the technical national staff, myself and John, together with Nathan on behalf of programming and Ursula on behalf of affiliate needs, have started to talk briefly about budgetary items. I think we talked about them in one of our earlier sessions, John and I did, but just, so we have started talks on this. We are largely talking about sustaining what we currently have. We're adding certain needs that are critical, but nothing, no major improvements, unfortunately, because of the revenue scenario that you folks are aware of. So that's number one. I have proposed recently a move for AudioPort and Pacifica.org to another provider. This move would give us three different servers, as opposed to now we only have two servers online. We would have three servers online, backup facilities for all our services included with the package, which is not the case right now, and it would be a net savings of $5,000 to $10,000 in that range for the whole year savings. So adding services and improving the speed and capacity and other resources, I am going to be saving on our internet related costs. As opposed to what was in FY07 and FY06. So FY08 will have a savings in that area. The last thing I will say is I'm going to be putting in for myself what I'm calling a normalization of salary for me to bring up my salary to speed with the rest of my colleagues at the Pacifica National Office. I also would request that the yet-to-be-hired assistant that I have been approved for FY07, also, before I even hire them, get a normalization of that salary so that I can hire somebody with more skills. My scenario is, and you can go to the job posting site, I am posting jobs for the national office with salary ranges well in excess of my salary. When I took this job, I took it knowing that the guy before me made 100% more than what I made. I did that because we were in a difficult situation. I thought that would set a good precedent for the organization and others would follow suit. But in fact, that's not been the case, and it's increasingly difficult for me to continue at this pace. So even though I'm not asking for any significant improvements in other areas, I am asking that this committee support, at least, that I need my salary normalized in line with my colleagues at the national office, including folks that were hired in the last 6 months, folks that are going to be hired in the next 6 months, all in a different price range than me, and I just can't do that. So that's my request, my quick bullets. I hope it was... I hope we can talk about this further in the next meeting, in fact.
Are there any comments about that notion?
Rip Robbins here.
Go ahead, Rip.
Maybe I missed this. I'm sorry if it's duplicating, but I'm just I have a question, Pete. Does the executive director approving or submitting your increase in this budget process?
No, I have not discussed this in any detail or specifics with the executive director or anybody at the national office at this point. I'm going to the committee in this case because I...
You're asking us to make a recommendation?
Yes.
Because we have to move quickly on it because I know the budget process is underway.
Yeah. Well, we need to move as a committee. The tech committee needs to move quickly because, you know, it's critical that you have a voice in the budgetary process, and I think that's the top priority, personally. So,
when the ED asked, I'm sorry, just to follow up on the, because the process should have, I guess normally, Pete, you wouldn't be submitting a request for your own. Have you submitted finance needs to the ED for next year?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did.
All right, great. Okay, thank you.
Any other comments?
I just wanted to ask you, you're going to give us the necessary information about your the budget lines for us to consider next time. Is that it?
Well, I would like for it to be the next meeting. I can't, you know, it's up to you.
But no, another time, not tonight. I mean, you want us to get numbers and figures from
Correct.
You.
Correct. I'm just giving you a broad outline so you're not caught cold.
Okay, thanks.
This is Bill.
Go ahead.
I was thinking, John or Pete mentioned some things. Was it last month also that we should include in the budget? I don't know. I don't think that was in the minutes, but I'm trying to remember if that was last month or the month before.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Did you repeat that, Bill?
I just want to make sure we're not leaving out things that were mentioned the last month or two that we need to, you know, worry about for the budget.
Yeah, the one of our first meetings, I believe John and I went into some detail about things that we've requested for FY07, even, and as well as FY08. Not a complete exhaustive list, but just some items we had talked about with the executive director. I believe it was our second meeting. But at this point, because the budgetary process is getting firmed up, it's important that we do the same as a group. So I could be ready with a budget, a proposal for FY08, including all, you know, everything, hardware, software needs, consultant needs, et cetera. And I could submit that to you folks probably in the next 7 days so that, you know, you can start looking at it and asking questions beforehand. But I would love to have a full meeting to discuss this before the LA meeting, actually, because I think that's when you folks are going to finalize the budget, no?
Good.
Okay. It's possible, I think. Any other comments or questions?
Rip Robbins here. I have a follow-up.
Okay, Rip.
For discussion then, and that is that, I'm on the Affiliates Task Force, and that's an area where we have begun submitting budgeting requests to the PNB. And, the CFO was on our call saying that he... didn't expect or that it wasn't usual for committees to actually make budgetary recommendations. So, what I would say in this case is that this committee is different because we actually have members who are national staff. For instance, a governance committee wouldn't actually have a national staff person as an integral part of the committee other than just a representative of staff in general. So here we have national staff who we really work with as a committee. So I think that we do have some justification for making some recommendations to the national office in terms of budgeting. But we are going to approve a draft budget at the July meeting, and so it would be imperative at this time in order to get it to finance committee in time, so that there isn't an easy deflection of this recommendation, that we do come up with a specific, even though we may not have thought we needed to do that tonight.
Mary Berg, can I make a comment to that? Hello?
Go ahead, Mary. Sorry.
Well, I think he said it wasn't usual. There's nothing that says it's improper or it's out of order. The fact that nobody did it doesn't preclude us. I mean, I'm adding on to all the things that Rip said, which I agree with, but in addition, there's nothing that precludes any committee from doing that, and in fact, I would think they would have interest in doing this quite a bit more than they have.
All right. Any other?
This is Rob Robinson. Yeah, I think that it's appropriate for us to weigh in, but I think this committee, the technology committee, deals with an area of structural and strategic importance to the network, and in the past there has been no person who is responsible for coordinating these things and working with the local stations. There is a similar issue in the area of programming, in that if you look at it, the programming budgets for many of the local stations, there's no money allocated, for example, for training programs or for the program production. And so one of the things that I think we have to understand is a dynamic of the network is the fact that the way we fund, currently we fund what we do, and the local stations raise almost all of our revenue. We get some revenue from CPB, but that's based on a formula that has to do with our audience size and the way we raise our funds at the local station levels. The local stations remit 20% of the monies that they raise to the national office. So the national office basically is dependent upon the local stations for what they have. So a function like technology and technical operations is basically something that both the national office and the local stations are in competition for the same dollars. So because the national office does not have separate sources of revenue, although they're being developed now with some of the mass mailings, the IT functions and the technical operations functions are basically orphans. They don't have a home. And discussions about creating budgets for them are very controversial because if the national office asks for more money from the local stations, they're very hard-pressed to provide that money. So the whole discussion around funding for technical operations and technology is a case in point where we as a network are not operating as a network. We're not budgeting properly for the things that we need. And people like John and Pete are very hard-pressed. They're not given the resources that they need, and they really can't provide the local stations that don't have significant technological staffs, like, for example, KPFA. They're very hard-pressed to provide the services that they need to the local stations, and even harder-pressed to provide the technical support, for example, that the affiliates need. So this is a structural problem about the way we fund the network. And I think we have to be very concerned about these issues because the things that John and Pete are asking for and the reasons why year after year after year they don't get funded are really problems that are specific issues that governance should be dealing with. If we are not funding the network properly, then the PNB needs to understand why that is the case, and it needs to look at options for doing it. So I realize that these discussions can become simplistic and uncomfortable, but they really touch on very, very key issues about the way we operate the network. And I would ask the technology committee, you know, to be very, very thoughtful in going forward because the things Pete and John are asking for here are critical, and the reasons they're not getting them have to do with a critical problem in the way that we fund the network. That's all I have to say.
All right, thank you. We are an hour and 15 minutes to the meeting, an hour and a half since we first jumped on the line, some of us. So I want to be mindful of that and ask if there are any other comments or questions.
This is Pete. I have one quick thing to say. I really appreciate what Rob just said. I think Rob's time on the board, his experience with these matters, speaks off at this point.
Excuse me.
Anyway, it speaks for itself. I think you're pretty accurate in what you're saying. I say one thing, though. The national office, from my assessment and my experience being here, is limited to some degree by the revenues, et cetera, as you outlined, Rob, but there is a national office budget for staffing, for example. And if you look at that, how that is laid out, how those resources are allocated, it's clear to me year after year that those who lay out the national office priorities for human resources, for people staffing, make finance a priority. So the national office serves well as a finance office for the organization, but programming, outreach, technology are woefully underfunded. So it's not that there is some revenue there for allocation. It's how we are allocating it, or I think it's imbalanced personally. I think our national office is woefully imbalanced. That's my assessment. And time and time again, technology is always lacking. Technology is behind, and I'm often scapegoated, quite frankly, time and time again, where I'm here for 5-6 years now asking for simple things. And so I look forward to a discussion in detail about this soon. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. All right. With that, is there any more reports, anything else to say from the staff, from the staff side of things? Does the staff have anything further to say?
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Michael.
Rip Robbins here.
Okay, Rip, go ahead.
Well, I would just say then, as a strategy on this, that we get some information from Pete, and at our next meeting, we would come up with something that we would just have to bring on the floor at the meeting in July to add into the budget. It has a lot of vulnerabilities to doing that. However, since it is a national office line item, then perhaps the CFO would be able to do the required cost assessment of that. And we can just take our chances, seeing that the entire board has passed resolutions supporting these innovations in technology. Most of the board's ready to move on in a number of areas simultaneously. And so there may be broad board support for this. So I would just recommend, as a conclusion, so that we're not leaving things open, that we do have some kind of strategy, but that would be our last option here, I think.
Okay. So we're going to wait for, and I'm going to address the strategy you're asking for. Maybe being obtuse here, I'm not sure, but we're going to get the report from Pete about needs assessment, and then we're going to address this in a very direct way at our July meeting before the in-person meeting in L.A. and hopefully have something concrete to bring to the board. Is that what I'm hearing?
Right, because I know Finance Committee, I was thinking about this while there was some other discussion in the last few minutes, that Finance Committee is meeting next week, and I think those are the numbers that Lonnie's going to be. I mean, there will be a couple more weeks of work on that, but those are the numbers he's going to bring. So we're kind of late. Depending on how late all the stations are at this moment, we wouldn't have enough time to meet again, even in a special meeting, really. So unless other members have other suggestions on this, it seems like we're just going to need to wait until the in-person meeting. Yeah.
Okay.
Michael, this is Rob. I think that there's going to be ample opportunity for you as the chair of the Technology Committee to make a strong statement to the PNB about the state of technology and our technical competence. And you can only do that with the information that you get from Pete and John. But at the same time, I think you can make a special appeal to the board that some of these imbalances in the way we allocate funds need to be corrected, particularly if we're going to begin moving in the direction that technology is taking broadcasting. So I would say that it is an appropriate time for you as the chair of the Technology Committee to make statements about the conditions and to request that the PNB instruct management to allocate funding in a way that the IT functions and the technical operations functions are you know, are brought in line with what we should have, and furthermore that there's coordination between the national and the local functions so that we're acting like a network. So I'm just saying I think it's a good time for you to make the case, assuming we give you enough information.
Maybe
to,
we can
to make it credibly.
Pass a motion to empower me to address this in a way that we all support, you know, at our next meeting in July.
Then I would make a motion that we empower our chair, the chair of the technology committee, to make a statement to the PNB concerning the state of technology and technical operations at you know, at the Pacifica network. And that you particularly comment on particular funding needs and allocation of resources within the network.
Okay. I'd second that.
Can you write that down?
I'm doing it right now.
Damn, you say it so well. I don't know how you get your head around these things. Okay, any comments about that?
I can probably send you some ideas too, Michael.
All right, Bill, thank you. Andrea, I heard Andrea.
Thanks. Is there a place where we can find the technology motions that the PNB has passed?
Yes.
I don't know where to find them.
Okay, Mary, go ahead.
Greg sent out, the ED sent out a while back, it was to the PNB, I will send, it's not just the tech committee, it's all of the motions. They go up through, they don't go up through the rest of, they go through, I think maybe the end of 2006 or some point in 2006, but they're all, it's all the motions from 2004 to that point, but they're headed in, you know, in categories, so you can at least find them, what they are. I could send those out to people. It's, you know.
Right. Again, that may be a side issue. Where motions are doesn't really address the issue at hand here, which is talking to the board about needs.
We had a request for where they could find these things, and I wondered if people are interested, I would send that.
Okay. That'd be great if you could.
Yeah. Thank you.
Right. So, do you have that written down, Rob?
Just a second.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on? I would just like to add that I hope at the July meeting we can come up with a consensus about the report that I will be giving to the PNB, so that the items that I tick off have the full backing of members of this committee.
Okay, here's a very simple, I hope this is as simple as possible. The motion is that we, the committee, empower the chairman of the technology committee to report on the status of technology and technical operations at the Pacifica Foundation and request the PNB address allocation of funding and resource imbalances within the network.
Hmm.
Okay. Is there discussion on this?
Rip Robbins here. We have time to have a meeting before our next PNB in-person meeting? I believe we do.
Yeah, it's the third Wednesday, I believe.
Right. So at that time, we could kind of firm up the main point so that you can go into that feeling that the entire committee supports what you're going to say.
I'm hoping, yeah.
We could squeeze something in between 1 o'clock and 4 a.m. in the morning at some point.
I'm trying to take this silence as an opportunity to move on to old business. Then, okay, no objection. That passes, and I'm going to turn this over to Henry, I think. All right, Henry, are you here?
He was here.
Yeah, here I am.
Hi, Henry.
Hi.
Why don't you talk about the digital distribution resolution?
Okay, let's see. Well, the resolution was an attempt on my part after after attending a couple of meetings and also in particular after hearing some of the reactions at KPFA to the issue of the licensing consulting contract, I came to the conclusion that there was a big gap between the level of awareness, I think Andrew or somebody mentioned this at the beginning of this meeting, the big gap between the level of awareness in this group, which of course is uneven within itself, but even so, it's I think we as a group have a very different awareness about what's happening in technology and what it means for the future of radio compared to most of the people involved in, as activists and governance and programmers and so on, at least at this station, which is really all I can speak about because I don't know the rest of the network very much. In particular, I think what I tried to do in drafting the motion is to highlight, to look at it in two ways. One, in terms of opportunities that the technology presents for us to reach a wider audience in ways that people in the coming decades, if not already, will expect to be reached. And secondly, to highlight some of the risks to the network, the foundation, if we don't move ahead with the technologies that are very rapidly becoming the norm, particularly for younger generations. So, it wasn't an attempt to do any create any new policy or anything. It was an attempt as a kind of statement to that I hoped would, that we could distribute somehow. I know a lot of most resolutions don't really get distributed, but I thought perhaps we could make a wider effort, a special effort to get this one out, and that it would put some of the immediate issues, like, particularly that whole thing about the license consulting deal about licensing, but also for instance, the statement we just talked about that, that Michael's going to make to the PNB, and Pete's whole issues about budgeting and all the rest. I just think that in order for us to for people to really understand and appreciate the full significance of these specific issues, they need to put it in the larger context. And that's all I was trying to do. I wasn't trying to slow anything down or anything. I'm not entirely sure it's worth the trouble. I don't know if we're a body that can actually make that discussion and that awareness happen. And last time when it came up, some people had some objections to some specific paragraphs and so on, phrases within the document. Although I think that my sense was that most people, appreciated the overall direction of it. But, so that's all I have to say. I think that I was assuming that the people who had objections to some specific passages were going to offer some amendments or something today.
All right. Okay, so this should initiate some comment. Anybody?
Oh, I just wanted to point out that I thought that I did circulate some proposed amendments to everyone yesterday.
Yeah, I received those.
Okay. I didn't see them, I'm afraid.
I'm sorry, I didn't get to see those.
Well, I had a couple of comments. I guess I'm just sort of skimming over this stuff. My impressions were that I'm wondering how all of this will be bringing about outreach or marketing or the publicizing of the technologies. It kind of occurred to me that that's something that may come up as we go, because a lot of this is word of mouth, and the technology itself, is the means by which it's driven forward. But, you know, if we put a lot of things in place and we don't have, certainty that it's going to be used or have outcomes, desirable outcomes, as I think Dave referenced with regards to the gentleman he spoke to about the funding of such things as this. Is, you know, we want to see that it has results. And I think without outreach and marketing or publicizing or whatever you want to call it, we could have a really amazing product in place or service, but no one using it. That was one observation I had, and I'm not really sticking by these. These are just my observations that I jotted down after I read the document. And the other thing is sort of off in a different direction, and that is, how does this resolution get implemented? What does the implementation of it look like? You know, we could give this to somebody, and they could say, "Hey, that's really pretty. You got a lot of great ideas in there, and thanks." You know, will it go anywhere? So those are my observations, and I don't mean them to do anything. It's just what I saw.
This is Bill.
Okay, Bill.
Well, I still basically like the motion, but this is still the one you're talking about that you sent us back in April, right, Henry?
March or April, sometime like
okay,
that, yes.
Because right. I was looking at it again here, and it, you know, it basically just says we recommend that the PNB and Pacifica Management make a top priority strategic commitment for developing digital distribution, et cetera. I think it makes a lot of sense. It doesn't say we're not going to do what we're still doing. It's, this is sort of a supplement, and I think that's something that the board and management need to really emphasize. I know they're always busy putting out fires and other things, but this is a big opportunity and a potential problem, as you pointed out, if we ignore it. So I think we need to focus on getting some more attention to this.
Andrea.
Go ahead, Andrea.
So we're talking about literally the same motion that we received in April or May, whenever that was. Is that correct?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I still have the same objection to that point that I raised then, which was under the third article, I guess it is, B. I appreciate a lot of this motion, I have to say. I'm very impressed with it. But that point I find very disturbing because, I'll tell you the point it is. It says, if we can muster the resources, digital distribution gives us the potential to produce far more content than our stations can squeeze in 168 hours a week of airtime. Doing so would resolve or at least alleviate many of the conflicts that have traditionally beset our stations instead of just fighting over access to a finite resource. Individual airtime, individuals and collectors with new programming ideas could proceed to make their programs for digital distribution. I really would not like to emphasize, I don't think we should look at it that way. I mean, I disagree with that perspective. As I said before, I see the issue of 168 hours as a blessing in a certain way, a way for the network, for each station, to address for the entire, for the community, various members of the community to address each other about priorities and confront each other with their ideas and issues, rather than escaping each other into the wild world of cyberspace where everybody gets to say whatever they want to themselves, but never to each other. This is really, I see, counter to the mission, which is an attempt to understand each other and resolve conflicts. And so I would really change the emphasis of this. I don't see this as a particular solution, but more really as exacerbating a huge problem.
Rip Robbins here.
Hey. Oh, go ahead, Rip. I'm sorry.
Go for it, Rip.
Okay.
I'm muted. I'm muting myself.
Thank you.
Eating crackers.
You know, most of this I also agree with, and after, you know, reading it generally, just feel like we need to go ahead to the PNB with something as soon as we can. However, I agree here with Andrea that this one paragraph kind of defines a use of this potential, and maybe that is going a bit far. I mean, it is just an idea, and it's not actually part of the motion of the resolved section, but I guess it's just one idea. It shares space with the other ideas, but in a way, the way that it's written, it kind of suggests that this is, in fact, the way that we're going to allocate this space. I tend to agree with Andrea that it goes a bit over, a bit far in the language. If it can be framed a little differently, to just say that this is one person's suggestion as to how to use this new resource. But otherwise, I would agree that maybe we should amend this to just strike that paragraph unless the language changed a little bit.
Paragraph 3B.
Paul, yes.
Well, actually, I'm looking at an amended version. Has that been put on the table, the amendments that were sent out? It would be Section C under the amended version.
Oh.
This was the amendments that were sent out yesterday that Rob sent out. Are we on...
Yeah, I proposed some amendments and sent them out yesterday.
But that's the ones we're talking about.
Okay. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't see those.
That's right. It would be
point of information. Are those already on the table, Mr. Chair? Or?
No, they are not. Well, yes. I would like to rule by common sense to say Rob offered them. We got them in the email, and so let's put them on the table. Is there an objection to that?
I don't think I got them.
I support that idea. Then I would make a second amendment then to suggest that it would. But as far as recommending which number first we would need, it's either going to be 3B. It's currently 3B, right. But that it would be 3C.
The sentence that begins if we can muster and.
Oh yes, thank you.
Paragraph ending with right. Broadcast schedule.
Right. That's it.
I would just briefly say that I heard Rob use a phrase in Houston calling the idea of HD as a panacea for station woes, and I know it's political to talk about, you know, using HD as a means of satisfying programming, just programming conflicts, and using the internet as the same kind of panacea. Is something I think would be wise to steer clear of because of the politics of it.
Well, I also don't think it's true.
If I may agree with you, Mary.
I don't feel strongly about this one or the other, but I could strike it.
This is Henry. Mary?
Okay, Henry.
I wonder, I'm not deeply attached to this, and if people aren't comfortable with it, fine with me to strike it, but I wonder if, I guess I'm not entirely clear about the objection, is if we left the first sentence but struck the rest, would people be comfortable with that, or people are objecting to the idea of producing more content?
Yeah, I.
Okay, Rob, go ahead.
I tend to feel inclined in Henry's direction, and I'm sorry that I got my amendments out late. But my feeling is that the principal benefit of the distribution is that there is a lot of Pacifica content that is produced at stations outside our own that, were it available to us in our own terrestrial FM universe, would help us create broader-based and larger audiences. And I think one of the principal benefits is this, is not just expanding the time that's available, but giving people access to things that they can't ordinarily get. And the reality is that Pacificans are not going to spend all their day on their computer listening to the streams from the five sister stations. That's not realistic. But I do think that the issue of the 168 hours is a problem, because in most of our stations, quite frankly, we have not found ways to create space for new programming and new voices or well-produced national programs like Democracy Now, which earns one out of four every dollars that we make. Since we created Democracy Now 10 years ago, we've done nothing to match that. And I think that's hurting us as a network. So I understand, I think, some of Andrea's concerns. I tend to feel that they need to be addressed by things like program evaluation and establishing program goals and assessing the program schedule against the Pacifica mission. For example, why do we have no children's programming at almost any of our stations? And I think that's because we ignore the mission and the implications of the mission. But I don't think that Henry has it wrong there. I simply think my feeling is that there's another advantage to this, which is that we can give listeners in all the signal areas access to the best programs that are available at other stations. And that's one of the things that's going to help us. And by the way, I also feel that we should make the best programs from our affiliate stations available as well.
Okay, I want to remind people that it's 11 o'clock Eastern Time. We've been on the call for 2 hours. Mary, go ahead.
There's a couple of things. The idea that, Rob, you keep saying that there's no coherent mechanism to do all these things. I can't speak for the other stations. We have quite a coherent procedure to evaluate program. We've been doing it. We have what we call grid ecology, which is what you're talking about, looking over all, so forth. And as soon as we get the evaluations done, we can focus deeply on that. We have mechanisms for accepting new proposals. We have lots of coherent mechanisms, at least at KPFA, on the points that, not every point that you mentioned. And I don't think, for example, why is there no children's program? There used to be. I don't think it may be a failure to observe the mission. There is a problem with 168 hours, and if you're trying to reach certain audiences, it is a problem. The other thing is you mentioned about the decline according to Arbitron. Well, this is where Arbitron may or may not be useful. I don't think we can. What we have no coherent mechanism for doing is surveying our own audience and doing outreach. That's a big problem. So we don't know for sure. We speculate based on drive results and the number of subscribers and so forth, whether or not we make the goal, how many people are involved in subscribing. On that basis, as far as I know, we are flat. We're not increasing, but we are not decreasing the way the national, that Arbitron's figures show. And I only wanted to make one other point. Somebody said something about HD radio. My objections to that are mainly so far technological as being any kind of or anything. I mean, KPFT had a reason to put that in. They needed a new transmitter anyway. I think we're quite validly had reasons at KPFA not to do that. I'm not even sure where that technology is going. So I hope that wouldn't be a part of anything to say that we ought to have HD anyplace. HD radio, it's by no means certain that's going to be anything that's going anywhere down the road.
Thanks,
Mary. My objection, it's not that Henry is wrong. It's not that we shouldn't produce more content than 168 hours. But I'm saying that. I think striking the diagraph is a better idea, but I've been trying to figure out a way to keep something in of it. But to say that it would resolve or at least alleviate many of the conflicts that have traditionally beset our stations, I think is a mistake. I mean, even though he's addressing the statement as about fighting over access to a finite resource airtime, I think that's to interpret it that way, to interpret the solution to that problem that way, with just more hours, I think, is a real
is as a non-solution to the problem of fighting over a resource within a of different people. Let me back up. It doesn't solve the conflicts among the community, which would lead to people fighting for a finite resource with each other. If the community were talking to each other and addressing each other and trying to resolve those conflicts, there would be less of a fight over resources. And I think what happens here, as has happened all over Pacifica, is that the boards take it upon themselves to resolve the conflicts of the community and then present it some solution to the public, whereas the conflicts should be resolved on the air in discussion. And it's the board's job, national and local, to make room for that public discussion. And to say that we're going to escape the public discussion by having little private discussions multiplied throughout cyberspace or any other number of digital channels is a very big mistake, and it's a profound, I think, misunderstanding of the mission and misapplication of the airwaves which we are here to maintain as a public trust.
Can we?
This is Vajra.
Vajra, go ahead.
I think that it's probably the wording of that is it's not worth getting bogged down in, and I've just drafted a possible replacement paragraph, which I can send to everybody, but I'll read it first because I know not everybody's sitting at their computer. But it would read something, if we can muster the resources, digital distribution gives us the potential to produce far more content than our stations can squeeze into 168 hours a week of airtime. In addition to providing an outlet for a great deal of well-developed programming that cannot be accommodated in the 168-hour schedule, this would provide excellent opportunities for training and learning, in effect giving us, baseball terminology, a farm system. And then on, as the end of it goes, programs and programmers that prove their merit and appeal for digital distribution could be promoted to the broadcast schedule.
Oh, wow, great.
So that just takes, I mean, that whole issue out. And I don't think it's very wonderful radio to attempt to resolve all of our conflicts on the air, actually, personally. But I think it's very bad radio and not at all what our listeners tune in for, or you know, the vast majority of them. But anyway, so if people like, I can just email this to everybody and
I
so
like
those
it.
Who are on their computers can look at it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Is there any objection to taking that up and replacing the current language with that?
Great.
Nope.
Okay. So what is now 3C is replaced.
Then I would withdraw my amendment appropriately.
Language. Okay. Good. All right. I'm getting kind of dopey here, so can we push through?
What time zone are you in?
I'm in Houston time zone.
Well, imagine what it's like in New York.
Yeah.
I have just about enough energy to lie down and go to sleep here.
Yeah. So
we're getting sneezy and grumpy.
Okay. So
the other dwarves.
What are we gonna do?
Delicious.
The seven that are left. What are we gonna do with this? Can we? Just send it through
with Rob's amendments.
Yes, maybe we should. Rob, maybe you should read your amendment.
Yeah, I would support that.
You want me to read them? You want me to actually read them now, or just give everyone a chance to look at them and comment?
Well, if everybody agrees with you, we can actually pass this tonight.
But you know, hearing it read, and has everybody had a chance to see it?
No.
Yeah,
okay, let's hold
right
off.
Now. It looks good.
I think we should read it rather than just hear it. I mean, a lot of people can't get it.
Because there's a lot of hidden agendas and shenanigans in there. So.
Oh, really?
You need to tear all that out.
I'm glad you told us.
Right, way well, more minds going off right and left.
Mr. Chairperson?
Go ahead.
This is Henry. I'm just wondering, since this is already dragged on, I think this is the third month, is there some procedure by which we can agree to come to final language on by email and take a final vote by email and not have to wait another month? It seems to me that we're I don't think there are any. I haven't heard any substantive major objections beyond the one that I think maybe we just resolved.
Well, this is Bajra. Rob's got like one three line addition, just a little bit, a couple of his changes are not huge. Rob, do you want to just read them, and we can pass it right now.
Sure. If I can see that clearly.
Is that all right with the committee?
I can read them. I've got it right in front of me.
Okay.
I think
it begins, Bajra, at 3B.
Wait a second. I want to make sure that Mary and Andrea are good with this because they object.
It begins with 3B.
I just want to understand. I'm sorry that I was not able to see them the last time I was online. I did not see them. And
I understand that, Andrea. That's
I'm just answering Michael's question. Yeah, I appreciate it, Bajra. If you think that it's small enough for us to be able to understand where they go and what you read, I have no objection, is all I want to say.
Okay.
Okay,
bye.
All right. Well, in 3, talking about the various benefits of the digital distribution model, he's added 1 under B. It says, it gives current and new listeners access to mission-driven programming produced by Pacifica's sister stations and the Pacifica Radio Archives, as well as programming produced by Pacifica's growing number of affiliates. So that's a new B.
That seems pretty docile to me.
Right. And then under therefore be it resolved, he's rewritten the first paragraph a bit. The technology committee supports the PNB's January resolution to develop a digital distribution strategic plan as a complement to terrestrial broadcasting. That commitment should include, now here is the longest piece, and he puts it as number 1. Exploring how the technology committee can reach out to local station technology program producers, including KPFK, Digital Village, WBAI, Off the Hook and the Personal Computer Show, and KPFT, Technology Bytes, about producing programming that presents how digital technologies, the Internet, and intellectual property issues are changing the broadcasting landscape and what the impact of these changes means to Pacifica. In other words, you're proposing, Rob, that the technology shows tell our listeners what's happening, right?
Yeah, I'm saying the way to conduct a discussion is to educate and inform the listeners, not just have debates.
Dump it on.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And then he has a new number 2. Ensuring that such programs promote discussions of technological and strategic options for pursuing digital distribution, particularly insofar as they permit the broadest range of Pacifica program content to be shared as freely as possible with the widest universe of listeners in accordance with the desires of the copyright holders. So those are 2 additions to the resolution part of the motion.
And we don't remove anything that was previously
no,
there.
No, all the rest is still there.
So you're saying to... Can I ask a question? Sorry.
Go ahead.
To ensure that there is a wide distribution in accordance with the desires of the copyright holders... Is that what you said?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And who are they?
The
people at the local stations that produce the programming.
I see. Okay.
Well, in other words, if we start distributing stuff that Vajra, I believe Vajra is a producer or host of a show, if Pacifica were to begin distributing her program without her permission, or if they were distributing it in ways in which it could be used so that she didn't agree with it, that would create complications for us down the road. Maybe she would just say, well, I don't really care. I'm happy that it gets out there. But on the other hand, since we have 5 stations and hundreds of people producing content, we also could land ourselves in incredible internal disputes.
Right,
right. And that's an issue that's also addressed elsewhere in the motion that, this is definitely something that has to be dealt with head-on.
Right, and I realize that the licensing issues are fairly complex. They're not really that complicated, but it's hard to understand if you haven't been involved in some of these things. But there really is no simple way to explain these things in ordinary language that simplifies it. I mean, we really have to... What we're basically saying is we want to distribute this stuff so that, number one, people give us permission, and secondly, so that their work is given the treatment that they want it